Hello and welcome to another edition of the Romantic Truth Podcast. Please be advised that the content of this show is for mature audiences 18 and over due to the topics discussed. Please feel free to follow and like Romantic Truth on Facebook at facebook.com/romantictruth. You may also listen to the podcast on anchor.fm/romantictruth. Now, here is your host Jorzen.
Hi everyone, Jocelyn with you here, Romantic Truth Las Vegas. Shannon writes the following, out of Columbia, South Carolina. Please don't think little of me about what I'm about to ask you. I just want to know. I'm a 59-year-old woman, and I've always had the desire to sleep with a black man throughout my life. I drank the Kool-Aid. I did what my family wanted me to do for years. Last month, I just buried my mother, the last vestige of racism in my family. Mother and father were very racist, along with my aunts and uncles. Grandparents were extremely racist. I've always had an attraction for black men, but I had to repress it. Marrying white men along the way, I've been married 3 times. I've tried to steer my children clear of racism. My son, youngest, is the only one that didn't seem to get the memo. I just have to live with that because he's grown now and he's on his own. The only thing that I have an issue with is I want to get with a black man, but I only want him for sex initially. And then, maybe if a relationship works out, I will deal with the consequences. Do you think I'm wrong for having these ideas? No, I don't. You're at a point of curiosity in your life. You're older, you're wiser. You repressed those desires in your younger years for the benefit of family, tradition, values, and to keep the peace, but you weren't happy. Now you could be yourself. Now here's why I say this in general, and not disagreeing with you. You want to get out of your comfort zone. You want to see what it's like outside of the bubble. Your curiosity got you, of course, kind of engaged. But you have a defined purpose for the reason why you'd want to be with someone. And this person would happen to be black. You just want to sleep with them to see what it's like. But one thing that I will tell you, be cautious of, because so many women who do this and people that get involved with interracial relationships, they try to judge everybody based on one experience with one person. This is what we do in life in general. Here is the difference. When you have a series of the same results, then you can make an assessment on something. And then you can't even really summarily make it on the race or even other characteristics about the person. You also have to consider the demographics, the environment, the mindset. You could go and date 20 people in one location, for instance, and they all may have the disposition of only being high school graduates, not making over $50,000 a year. So what would you assume? Man, these people in this community, they're broke and they're uneducated. But what haven't you done? You haven't dated people in that community that was the opposite. So what you do then is write off the whole community and you go and look elsewhere. Instead of changing up the environment. But see, people don't like doing that. We like convenience. We like things that are close to us. But we don't have to really reach that far for whatever we want. Now, I would just say to you, if you're going to do this, and I'm thinking more than likely you probably will, you might as well get with someone that you'd be comfortable with in a relationship. That's what I'd look for first. And if you want to have it as a friends with benefits thing, do it. Now, you're mature enough at 59 to know that you're going to lose friends soon as you start talking about being with a black man. It happens. It would be the equivalent of you saying that you were going to be with a woman. People are going to distance themselves because of the fact that you're doing something that would bring shame and embarrassment to them. Now, keep this in mind, as I've always told you, decisions that you make for yourself will inconvenience the people that were benefiting from you the way they were. Oh, you can find out who your true friends are with this. But now also keep in mind the caliber and the quality of the man you're going to be dealing with. You should not lower those standards just because he's black. Even with me, my standards are all the same for all women, no matter what race they are. They don't change. Because the standards and the values stay with me. I don't give them the power to persuade me to lower those standards or values. I keep those with me, intrinsically. So, why are people discriminated against? Well, it's through our preferences, of course. Race, income, social status. It could be as petty as hair color. It could be as petty as maybe even what kind of car they drive. I know women that will not date men who drive Toyotas, which is a stupid concept, but there are some women that will not date men who drive Toyotas. Reason why this one individual won't do that is because she had Toyotas and they've always broken down on her. Why did they break down? Not because they were brand new. She would always get used cars that were neglected at a cheap price. So what do you expect the result is going to be? But people don't get past the logic of it because they're in the feelings. Oh, I got a Camry and I only paid X number of dollars for it. Yeah, but the car hadn't been maintained. It's got God over how many miles on it. The reason why the person's selling it is because the car's beat to hell. So how can she really make a judgment on Toyotas when she can't even get one that's worth a damn? The same concept goes with women when it comes to men, and men when it comes to women. Some of you are dating AMC Pacers. Some of you are dating Cadillac Sevilles. Some of you are dating Rolls Royces. Some of you are dating Pintos. Metaphorically, it all depends. Now, so we used to use these terms when we would talk about women that were ugly. Instead of calling them ugly, we would say, oh, no, she's an AMC Matador. No, she's a Pacer. No, she's a Pinto. No, man, she's a Gremlin. And the ladies would be looking around, they wouldn't know what we're talking about. And we had a scale of rating, which was wrong, but I was young. We would rate them according to the appeal of the automobile, with the Pacer and Gremlin being at the bottom of the heap. Matador meant that she was average looking. Pinto meant that she was a butterball. She was short and fat. But that's the way we had it. And if she was a Pacer, that meant she was ugly and fat. Sad to say. we were young then. Very young. Teenish young. Now, no excuse though. We're still offensive. But that's the way we sorted things out. So there was no political correctness back then. But here's the thing. You're looking at this experience as something you've always wanted. The only thing I'm saying is be selective. You have choices. Sometimes when people get that autonomy, they go buck wild and just grab the first thing that comes along. Get someone that you can have a pleasant experience with. Keep your standards and enjoy the moment. Let's face it, the reason why you want to be with a black guy is out of the curiosity and the fantasy, the big dick. Well, let me just remind you that dick is attached to someone that has a brain and a heart. I tell guys all the time, a woman has a brain and a heart. Her pussy is not all she's about. Unfortunately, some women think that that's all they have, just like some men think that their dick is all they have. And they wonder why they get in these interracial relationships and the woman wants to only be with him for his dick whenever she desires it. Or the white woman's only getting fucked all the time and never being taken to a movie. Never being treated properly. And even though people try to say they're colorblind, which is a lie, even though people try to say, you know, race doesn't matter, it does when you're dating. Society reminds you of that all the time by the way you're treated by the service staff at places. Whether it's going to a movie theater, and they say that you're an interracial couple and they try to give you two separate tickets in two different sides of the theater. Or whether it's a situation where you're in a restaurant and the waitress won't serve you and would be willing to lose her job. That's the way it goes. You're going to be reminded of this because don't forget, those eye cells that I talked about yesterday, those people who are involuntarily celibate, they have that feeling of entitlement to be with someone they want. And in many cases, they'll even drop it down to anyone. And if you have that person that they want, and if they're the same race, they're going to be vulgar. They have no choice because it's all they know. It's disappointment and failure. Good luck to you, ma'am. Just be careful and know what you're reaching for. All right, let's go on here. Shaniqua. S-H-A-N-I-Q-U-A. And she's out of Washington, D.C. I started listening to you about a few months ago, and I really like what you're talking about. I received an email because I'm on OkCupid. At first, I thought you were just the guy that's out there trying to promote his business. But after listening to you, I really like your show, and I've told others about it. I saw that we were not compatible, but that's okay. You turned me down, and I accept that. It wasn't like they had to do with distance. But now I got a problem in my life. I'm dating this guy in Virginia. He wants me to move there. His family are so backwards, and that's the problem. they're a little bit redneck. I just got here a little smiley face. LOL. Let me rephrase that. They are rednecks. The N-word is spoken around the house on the regular. My boyfriend does not even flinch when they use it. He just gives me the thing, well, you know, it's my family, you just gotta forgive them. And when I start to criticize them for their racism, he then becomes very defensive of them. I'm just wondering, if you were in my shoes, would this be something you tolerate? I love him to death. We've been together now about 4 months. And by the way, I met him on OkCupid. Around me, there's not a racist bone in his body. But when he's around other people who say racist things, he kind of ignores it. And I call him out on it, and then it starts an argument between us. But outside of that, our relationship is flourishing. I'm still reluctant to move to Virginia. His family calls where I live here in Washington a ghetto. But I just don't trust them enough in order to make that move. Am I right for feeling this way? Shaniqua, Washington, D.C. Shaniqua, you're a fool to be in that relationship. You're dealing with a man without a spine. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If this was a black man that wouldn't stand up to his mother and his family because they didn't like you, you'd be putting your foot in his ass to stand up against him. Mighty funny you're not doing this with this guy. You're actually showing the softer side of yourself. And folks, this is what I mean sometimes when people will use preference. The white guy gets the luxury treatment of her just complaining to him, not confronting his parents. If it was a black man, she's black. Oh, she'd have been arguing with the mother and the dad and everything else because there's a level of comfort in doing that because they're the same race. What this shows you is that subconsciously, she still thinks white people are superior by the way she approaches this. And plus, let's face it, even if you were with a black man, Shaniqua, you wouldn't even let it get that far. You'd have broken up with him. You wouldn't have had him talk to his parents. You'd have probably called him a mama's boy and walked away. Mighty funny you haven't done that with this guy. Because he's white. And because you value him more than you value yourself. You really need to think about your own dignity. He's not even protecting you from his family or anyone else. What you have, my dear, is a token. You don't have a man. You can get upset with me all you want to. And I'll be honest with you. The reason why I didn't choose you on OkCupid, distance was one thing. But the other thing was, after reading your profile, because I'm looking at it now, it had also to do with the fact that, let me read you what you wrote, so you'll be reminded. Not interested in any brothers, especially dark-skinned ones. So please, don't waste my time. Now, Shaniqua, you're darker than I am. It there. Let's go on to the next one. Okay, Bryson writes the following out of Buffalo, New York. What about those bills? Number 3 for me for life. Man, I'm so glad he made it through. I started listening to your show a week ago. you hit on some points, man, that really hit home to me. I was more than glad to write you, and I hope you do get this email and you can podcast it. I have a girlfriend, and she's a Steelers fan. And yes, sometimes we have our little soft rivalries. But now it's getting a little bit more caustic, using your word, LOL. It's got to a point where she literally wants to fight me. When they played against the Browns, she got upset. I had to be quiet in the house. And let me tell you, it was like I was walking on eggshells. It's gotten totally out of hand. When she and I first started dating, she wasn't a football fan at all. I introduced her to the game. And since then, she has gotten way, way, way too involved. One morning I woke up, didn't know where she was. The Steelers were playing the Ravens. She was at the corner bar watching a game. I'm calling her family. I'm worried about where the hell she is. Then when I showed up at the bar, she was upset with me because I was disturbing her watching the game. I was glad that she wasn't with anyone. But even after the game, when I went to address it, oh, she gave me a real, real verbal lashing. I don't want to lose my woman. I love sports, but I don't want to lose her because of it. And this rivalry is driving us apart. Help, I need it. Bryson, what has happened here, as we do in most relationships, believe it or not, when we introduce a partner to something, sometimes we create what is called a Frankenstein. Now, here's the thing I'll tell you. Buffalo and Pittsburgh have always been a rivalry. Let's think about it. We're in our divisions in the AFC. Pittsburgh, right now we're number 3. Cleveland, which is number 4. The Ravens, which is above us. And then you have the Bengals in the AFC North. So, Buffalo, of course, is our nemesis. But it's not a situation where we would take it to a level of being adversaries. We don't go that far. Buffalo is a pretty tough team to beat this season because they got Josh Allen. They got a host of good wide receivers. They got a quarterback that can scramble and throw at the same time and throw while he's looking away from the ball. They have running backs that are good, not just because they're in the backfield. So she's probably kind of upset about this. But now what you're going to have to do is sit her down and tell her that she's about ready to lose this relationship over this. And if that doesn't put the brakes on things, either you go to counseling with me so we can work this out, or it's over. I just got a sneaking suspicion there's something else in your relationship that's wrong besides sports. And you probably don't know it. You're presenting it this way. There's something else going on with her. And if you can't figure it out, the only thing you're going to do by asking her if she doesn't want to level with you or communicate with you, you're going to annoy and irritate her with your inquiries. My question to you is, since she became a football enthusiast, have you noticed her not spending the same amount of time with you as she did when she first started the relationship? There's a possibility there could be someone else. It's speculative. I don't know this. I can only go by what you've written. But I wouldn't be surprised. Usually a modification in behavior may be associated with that. More in a moment, folks. All right, let's continue reading from the mailbag. This is from November 2nd. 2022. My name is Lisa, and I live in Lincoln, Nebraska. I'm 25 years of age, and I work for a company that I really hate, but I show up like a zombie, do my 8 hours, and if we have to work overtime, I do that, then I go home. There's this girl that I've been training there for the last few weeks. She's 22. Well, this past Friday, what we decided to do, after work, we were going to get some beers, go over to my place, order some pizza, play video games, and she was going to spend the weekend with me, so we got to know each other a little bit better as friends. Now, I just want you to know, I'm straight. I thought she was also. After several beers that night, we both became kind of groggy. I fell asleep on the floor with my back against the couch. When I woke up, my jeans were down at my ankles, and she was wedged between my legs. I looked down only to see her head bobbing up and down. I was sober enough to ask her what she was doing. But I wasn't disappointed enough to make her stop. It felt damn good. I'd never been with a woman before. But that night, it spurred my curiosity. I remember staggering into the bedroom. She followed me. I laid on the bed. And she pulled her jeans off, spread my legs the widest they've ever been spread before. Even my boyfriend never spread them that wide. And she went down on me. And this time, I was moaning, trying to grab anything, and buried my head in the pillow because it felt so good. This is something my boyfriend never did. At this point, I don't know where this relationship's gonna go. She's been coming over every night. And now I've found pleasure in doing her. My boyfriend thinks that we're just co-workers. He's been asking me for a threesome, and I've been denying him that. But he was asking me this for a very long time, at least for the last 2 years. I want her for myself. He suggested a few times that the three of us got together. She's not down for it. She made it clear that she's not a lesbian. She just likes other women. She calls herself heteroflexible, whatever the fuck that means. In your opinion, sir, what are your thoughts about this? Lisa, Lincoln, Nebraska. Lisa, what I would say is that in this case, I hate to see it, but I'm gonna say it. You're in love with two people, your boyfriend and this woman. And this woman is beating him out. Even by the way you described what she did to you in that bed, comparing her to your boyfriend, Yeah. She got you hooked. Fellas, this is a lesson for you. Most women want their pussy eaten. They did a survey on Statista. Out of 1,000 women, 82% engaged in that practice. 82%. Now that was a small survey. But just think about it if it was on a broader context. It means that 18% of women don't do it or don't like it. But then again, it varies from demographic to demographic, racial group, cultural, religion, traditional practices. You know, it's funny. My dad used to tell me years ago, there's a reason why some Southerners were not engaged in that practice. It was because a lot of them didn't bathe after work. Basically, it meant that they'd work the fields, be so tired, when they'd take a bath, they'd fall asleep. And some would take baths twice a week because there weren't no showers back then. You had to go to the well and draw the water out. But you had to make sure that you had enough water for cooking, washing clothes, and those kind of things. So that was something that was not done by some. Others didn't mind it. But it depended on the region and the area in which you were in. There are some people out there who like to have sex with other people when they're musty and funky. I didn't know this was a thing. Found out it was. It depends on the person. But Lisa, I will tell you this much. You want that woman, and that woman's into you. Now, you made a mistake by getting someone in the workplace. That's going to come to bite you in the ass somewhere along the line. You will see. Break up with her and see how ugly it can get. And one thing I will also tell you, it's a nastier exchange when women break up with each other than when men break up with women, or vice versa. The reason being, both of you are emotionally charged. Just something to think about. Best of luck to you. I'll leave it to you to make the decision. Here are your choices. You can stay with your boyfriend, end that relationship with her. Leave your boyfriend, stay with her in the relationship. Give him the pleasure of the threesome. And normalize this relationship with him. But one thing I'll leave you with, if you keep having sex with her, and your boyfriend, you're being selfish. You've already been unfair by cheating on her, but now you're being straight up selfish. Okay, let's move on. Bruce. And he's out of Stamford, Connecticut. Hey, dude. Listen to your podcast when I can. Thinking about dating this black woman. We've only been seeing each other for about a month or two as friends. She's new to my area. I'm showing her around town. And she's really funny and friendly. I would be the first to admit I thought she was going to be the stereotypical girl that you see on TikTok or on one of these social media platforms where they're going to be snapping her neck and cussing and everything is motherfucker and fucking bitch and all the rest of that. She's the total opposite. And I'm really enjoying her. I'm just trying to think of a way I could talk to her because I've never talked to a black woman before as far as a relationship. What do I need to watch out for? What do I need to say? Okay. The one thing. I tell anyone dealing with a black woman, don't touch her hair. Let her allow you to ask her. That includes touching her. Now, here's the thing. This lady is more than likely of substance. At least, it seems that way. You're not dealing with a ratchet woman. Just approach her like you would any other woman. I know you're accustomed to dating white women. Well, you can treat her that way. Just one thing to keep in mind. Ask her to touch her. Now, the best thing to do, let her touch you first. That's with any woman, no matter what race she is. Let her express her comfort with you. And then you could ask if you could touch her hair. Now, here's the thing that I found. The black women that I've dated, and I dated a hell of a lot of them, those women that have the natural hair, they'd be the first to say, baby, run your fingers through it. That kind of woman, she don't have any issues about that. No matter how short or how long it is, she don't have any issues about it. Look, I was with a woman that shaved her hair completely bald. And we were ready to make love one night. You know what she did? She gave me a bottle of shea butter. And she said, you know what? As you're making love to me, as you're stroking me, I want you to take that shea butter and rub it on my head. Because it turned her on. And when I rubbed it on her head, it was hot. Her head was hot. And the shea butter was kind of cold. But she liked it. It aroused her in ways, but it depends on the woman. But when a woman's comfortable with you, she's going to tell you what's going to satisfy her. So I don't see any problem as far as you being with this lady. Just treat her the same like you treat any other woman. Oh, by the way, don't use the N-word. And please don't think that it's something that's going to be acceptable at any time to use. Stay away from the racist jokes. Yeah, it may sound funny in certain circles to use, but you may offend her in that way. Now, don't be shocked if she uses the N-word when she's describing something, when she's pissed off. I know it is a double standard. But she might not use it at all. Who knows? But I think the way you're going about it is good. You're establishing a friendship. Now, let me tell you something about her. And I don't know her. She more than likely is going to be a good friend that will still be a friend after the relationship's over if it ends. She seems like she's measured. Good luck to you, man, and keep me posted. We'd love to hear how it experience, and also I sent you an invite to the show. All right. Kelly out of Louisville, Kentucky writes the following. Well, I have sunk to the lowest of the low. I met this guy on Hinge. On his profile, it looked like he had things really going on. He had the pictures of him in a football uniform. He was supposed to be playing for the University of Kentucky, which I found out was a lie. He said all these wonderful things about him having a job, which he didn't. I'm even embarrassed to admit this. We wound up fucking in the back of a Walmart parking lot. In his car. Only reason why I did it was because I was horny. It was snowing outside. And I thought it would be rather romantic. After I got home, I felt like a cheap whore. But that only lasted for about 20 minutes. Then I had to remember, I had a good time. The sex was phenomenal. Even though he lied to me, I didn't care anymore. Now, would I fall in love with him? I probably wouldn't. But would I screw him again? Hell yes. I knew I had to be very protective because a guy like that, I couldn't expect anything from him as far as him supporting me and taking care of me. But at least now, I know I can get my needs met. This is better than fucking plastic, LOL. Kelly, Louisville, Kentucky. Yeah. Well, Kelly, you got your needs met. And you have a coherent view of where you're going in life and what to expect of men, especially the men you select. So in that regard, I can't get mad at you. I really have nothing to say because you fulfilled your fantasy. But one thing I would tell you guys is this. You notice how Kelly accepted that lie to get what she wanted? Some women will do that. And ladies, this is the reason why guys will lie to you. When they see an agenda far beyond the reach of the obvious, yes, they will accommodate you in that regard. And this is what's happening. So, kudos to you, Kelly. More in a moment, folks. Liz writes the following out of Duluth, Minnesota. Kudos to you, sir. Love your show. Keep up the good work. My girlfriends and I listen to you all the time at our store. You are funny, but you're telling the truth about a lot of things. I wish I had known you back in the day, because that really would have made a difference in my life. Hell, I probably would have wrapped my legs around your head and gave you a treat, LOL. Well, I'm dealing with something now that's weighing very, very heavy on me. A couple of things have been happening recently. I met this guy on OkCupid. But the problem I'm having now is that I'm finding out that X Factor thing that you talked about. It is real. Please put this on your show if you could, so that other women know what you mean by the X Factor. In particular, the guy told me he was single. I believed him. We've gone out on several dates. I thought things were going well. He was coming over to my place. I was going over to his. Well, he shows up at my door. I give him a hug. And I hear this woman coming up the stairs. And she's cursing. He turns around to her. I look out the door. She's wailing on him. I didn't want to have anything to do with that. I closed my door. After things settled down, he walks in and she walks in behind him. My eyes are wide open at this point. It's his wife. They're going through a divorce. The two of them are in my living room, and each of them are trying to plead their case. It was the most bizarre shit I'd have ever seen in my life. She's telling me why I shouldn't be with him. He's telling me why he should be with me. She had known about me the whole time. I never knew this woman existed. And it was awkward as hell us sitting there. We actually ate dinner and drank, still talking about their situation. I felt like a counselor and I felt like a fool. I could tell the passion had left her. It was all anger that she had towards him. It seemed like she was completely out of the marriage. But she just wanted to warn me about him. He tried to hang around after she left, but I kicked them both out. I was polite to her, but I had nothing to say to him. He's been calling. I've told my girlfriends about it. They've been teasing me at the store for the longest, laughing at me. I don't think it's funny, but I never in my life thought something like this would ever happen to me. The problem I'm having now is a piece of me still misses him. I haven't seen him for a while. Don't know what he's doing. I haven't called him. He hasn't called me. Do you think I should call him? No. You call this man, he's going to be right over with the same drama. You got to remember, he deceived you. And that is the most oddest shit I ever heard of in my life. His wife probably followed him. This man was lying to you the whole time. And guess what? He probably was at home bragging about you to her. And she wanted to meet you more than likely. Look, this guy, you could do so much better. But now he's got your heart because you slept with him. He's got your heart because you envisioned yourself with him. And now you miss him. I have to give props to the wife for not wanting to confront you. I think he had already talked a lot of shit to his wife about you. And the wife was already over him. And basically she was trying to warn you. She didn't mind you taking him. She didn't want him anymore. That was the key to that. You're kicking him out with him trying to linger around and try to explain things to get you to side with him. That was the best thing in the world. And by the way, I found most problematic people are on OkCupid. I have found people with the most fucked up situations on that site. A lot of women that have fallen on financially hard times mainly, at least here in Vegas, what I found. It's not an indictment for everybody on OkCupid. But we can only go by our experiences on that and the experiences of others. Now, what this means for you, my dear, you're probably kicking yourself because you should have seen the red flags. Well, these guys will go, just like women, and put single on their profile. They're looking for someone to bring their problems to. You won't know until after you actually meet them and go out with them and find out. But here's the thing. You found out. And don't normalize the situation you're dealing with because you accepted it as face value. Keep in mind, he may do this to you with another woman. So you're not winning any prizes here. That's more than likely what his wife was trying to tell you. Don't call that man back. Don't text him. Leave him alone. He hadn't contacted you. Leave him alone. All right. Let's see what else we have here. Juliet. And she's out of Fort Collins, Colorado. Hey, you. I love your podcast. Love what you're doing. I do have a girlfriend that listens to you and she can't stand you. The reason being, she's in a relationship that is not so healthy. And she wanted me to tell you, because she didn't want to write in, that not all women are unpleased. She has here unpleased, UNPLEAZED. Grammar's a bit. Grammar will kick your ass every time. She is unpleased with some of the things you said when it came down to women in relationships with dominant men. She loves her husband. He's very domineering. In fact, when I go over to visit her, he tries to tell me what to do. I remember one time I came over to visit, he told me to get to the kitchen and help her cook. I told him he had lost his damn mind. And he tried to rear up out of his chair like he was really somebody. My gun was in the car, unfortunately. I'm not one of these women that take any shit. I'm not saying I'm a badass, but I will stand my ground. The reason why I'm writing you is I wanted to bring this to the surface so that she will understand that there are good men out there. That's one thing I like about your show. You talk about the good, the bad, the unfair, and you talk about how you've made mistakes. Most people on these podcasts don't talk about those things, and I've listened to many of them. So I appreciate your candor and your honesty. Now, help me find a man. I've attached a photo, and I hope you like it. Keep doing what you do. Juliet, Fort Collins, Colorado. Ooh, Juliet, if I hadn't met my girlfriend, whew, I'd get on a flight to Colorado, man. God. Okay, folks, let me describe her to you. She has on this denim shirt, jeans, cowgirl boots, nice shape, very, very curvy. Seems to me she's about 5'9 or so. Long streaked hair is kind of frosted. Very nice looking lady. And she's standing by her F-150. Now, you're more of a rugged, rough cut woman. But dear, there are some women that do like a man dominating them. She's probably an Omega female. Submissive. And she probably comes to you and vents about how she doesn't like the relationship. But when you say something, she'll go and be the first to defend him. You will learn over time, as most people do. When a person starts to vent about a person, it's just like them on a job. They complain about the boss, but yet they take their asses to work, only to go back and complain later on about what happened incrementally the next day. The kind of guy that would have to be with you is one that his feelings would have to be in his back pocket. Now, I don't know you from anyone else, but just from this photo, it seems like you're the kind of girl that would get in that F-150 and cut a large fart and expect the guy not to say nothing but roll down the window. I think you've come into your own. I could be wrong. But I think also you've been through some stuff, and that's the reason why you're a little bit more defensive than your girlfriend is. You stand up for yourself. Because either you have seen other people victimized or you've been a victim yourself, and you're not going to let it happen to you. So the man that you need to look for, my dear, I'm being speculative, I don't know you, is someone that will respect you, understand you, who you will respect. But domestic violence is completely out of the picture. Any kind of abuse, verbal, disrespect, totally out of the picture. And this has more of a priority for you than anything else. No matter how handsome he is, you're not concerned about that. I would strongly suggest, if you're going to get with someone, to ask them questions about domestic violence and battery. You'd be surprised some of the answers you get. I was with a lady one time, and even though she went on a date with me, she was still kind of guarded. And I asked her, I said, why are you so defensive? What do you mean? I'd ask her a question, and she would ignore it. She'd look out the window. I was just asking her, where do you want to go tonight to eat? I don't care. And she was saying that while looking out the window. But what I found was, after she finally decided to talk to me at dinner, she was with a boyfriend that was very domineering. He told her what she was going to wear to work. He told her she couldn't wear any makeup, only lipstick and eyeliner. He would tell her these things. And she didn't want to be told what to do. And of course, he laid hands on her in order to reinforce that. And I asked her, have you ever laid hands on anyone? That was a trigger question. And she then began to tell me that she had two restraining orders against her from two ex-boyfriends. Because they got into an argument and she started hitting him, and one of them she grabbed a butcher's knife and chased him around the house. And she said, well, I guess you're not going to date me, so we might as well just go to end this. Oh, and we did. But I appreciated her disclosure. But she was still angry from those relationships. It had not ceased. I don't see you as coming across as that angry woman. I think you've gotten past that. But you're still at that point where you trigger easily. And that's something you're going to have to manage. Now, in that situation, when I would have gone to visit my friend and something like that would have happened, I'd have walked the hell out. But see, you're used to confronting people. And you're going to have to cut that out. You're too pretty to be with an ugly man. I don't mean physically ugly, I mean emotionally ugly. And you got to learn to remove yourself from that instead of standing there fighting like you probably had to do in the past. It's going to work to your advantage, trust me. I've dated women, as I told you before many times on the show, that have been victims of domestic violence. One lady I was with, when she undressed, she looked like her body had gone through a meat grinder. She had suture marks, stab cuts, bullet wounds. And she could describe every incident. And this started when she was a teenager. And she was 37 when we were dating. Every relationship she had was filled with violence. Couldn't tell until she took her clothes off. That's where all the scarring was. Just something for you to look at. Think about. Hit me up so that I can have you on the show as a guest. Send you the link. Or in a moment. All right, Carol Ann out of Portland, Oregon. Yes, I know you're going to say something like, this is the land of the other white meat like Tom Likas, LOL. I listen to your show, honey, and I love it. I'm an overweight woman. I'm 6'2". I weigh about 380 pounds. I do have a lot of men that want to be with me, but I'm actually looking for a man to love me and not have a fetish. One thing that I have learned, a lot of black men like fat women like me. The only problem I'm having is that here in Portland, I'm really afraid of some of the men here. I want a good, decent man, preferably black. This started as a child. When I was in school, all of the white kids teased me about my size. Back then, I was skinny and tall. And over the years, I put on the pounds in order for people to like me. And at one point, I was a pretty good size with nice breasts and a nice butt. And of course, the only thing the boys used me for was sex. Unfortunately, one of my relatives found an interest in me, and I was raped by two of my relatives. They took turns, and it changed my life forever. And I thought it was my fault, and I began to gorge, punishing myself. I used to cut myself. I went into counseling, and I eventually got out of that phase of my life. I'm good now. And now I just want someone that loves me for me. And I own the fact that I destroyed my body. Nobody else did it but me. I got fat for a reason. It worked as a protection to keep me from being molested again, to keep me from being raped again. I don't know if men understand this. It was the only thing that kept me safe. The relatives that took advantage of me, they didn't want me anymore. They went on to another relative of mine and did the same thing to her. We commiserate every once in a while. She lives in San Francisco now, and she doesn't even think about dating a man. She's only with women. And I didn't want to be like her. Not because she's gay, but because she never really dealt with the pain. Those guys went overseas and married foreign women, and they stayed over there. Our parents never believed us. My mother, her mother, told us it was our fault. Said we were to blame. The way we dressed, the way we looked, the jeans we wore, the very clothes they bought us. And they said it was our fault. I never forgave my mother for that. And when she passed away, I made it a point to go to the cemetery, and I pulled down my drawers and I pissed on her grave. That was the pleasure I got out of it. My father didn't care about us, just like my other relative. Her dad didn't care. So do you think anybody would want a tall, overweight woman that's broken on the inside in Portland, Oregon? I will tell you this much. You dealt with your demons. You know what the demon was? Punishing yourself for something you didn't do. They punished you unfairly, those relatives of yours. You punished yourself. And both of them were unwarranted, because you did nothing wrong. You were just a child growing up. And when you started to fail out, they took advantage of that. Instead of protecting you, they ravished you. You would need to get a guy that understands you. And here's another thing I will tell you that you're using as a defense mechanism and you don't realize it. Your sister went with women. I mean, not sister, but relative. Went with women to avoid men altogether. You've chosen to stay with men, but you're choosing black men for that reason, because it was white men who assaulted you. You also have to level with the guy and let him know the reason why you're going to go and pursue a black man. So he'll understand that it had to do with the trauma that you experienced early in your life from white men. Now, as I will say, you're making a blanket judgment on white men, which is unfair. But you're experiencing the same thing some people experience, like when they get mugged by a black person, then all of a sudden all black people are evil and nasty and mean. And that's not the case. There was just one experience. I worked with a lady one time, and she was raped by a black man. And I was the only black in her department. She wanted me removed because of that threat, and the company said no. And she treated me like a long-handled spoon for a while, until we finally had a talk one day. Because what she did, she gave me an assignment that was unfair by comparison to everyone else, as a form of punishment. We sat there and talking in our office one day. And I said, you didn't like me from day one. Let's talk about it. And she's like, you know, your job could be in jeopardy for talking to me. I'm like I care. I said, I have the skill sets to get another job. So you don't have that kind of power. I said, let's talk. I said, why did you assign me all of this? And you know damn well, everybody else in the department don't have a workload like this but me. She closed the door and she said, you know, I don't like you. I said, why not? Because I'm black. She said, those are your words, not mine. I said, oh, so I guess I hit the spot. Oh, you're calling me racist? No, I haven't. If I could tell you one thing, you're unfair. You're biased. She says, you don't know a lot about me, do you? I said, no, I don't. She says, you know I can get you fired. For what? For talking to you, telling the truth, asking you questions? Go right ahead. I said, the only thing you have to do is walk past me, go out that door, and go to HR. And she said, you're one of those savvy. And she was getting ready to say the word, and she called herself. I said, oh, they're on the tip of your tongue, aren't they? That word. She got quiet. And she said, okay, let's hear it. And I told her about how unfair the assignment was. And she sat there and thought for a minute. And I said, what's actually wrong? I'm not going to talk to you about my personal issues. I said, well, let me illustrate them for you. I said, I've run across people like you before. I said, more than likely, you had a bad experience with a black person. A black male, in particular. I said, you can still fire me. I don't care. I'm signed up with several agencies, so there's no problem as far as getting another IT assignment. Oh, you think you're so smart? No. Mm-mm. I said, I think you're so protective and so scared. And she slammed her hand on the desk and started crying. You don't know what I've been through. Ooh, boy, did I hit one there. Get out of my office. Gladly. Got up. Got out and started working on all of those assignments she wanted me to do. And I looked at that list of companies I had to go to in order to do all of their needs assessments. And she comes back about an hour later. Can I talk to you in my office, please? Eyes were watering up. Went in there. I'm sorry. You don't understand. And then she started explaining things. I said, now, that wasn't so difficult. So how can we work together? Well, I'm going to give you Charlene to help you with part of the assignments. I said, well, that would be a help. I said, but also remember, Charlene falls asleep. She says, yeah, that's true. And we started laughing. Charlene was a lady that worked with us. And she was a good systems analyst, except for one thing. I don't know whether she had narcolepsy or what. She would be sitting there talking to you in a conversation and fall the fuck to sleep. I'm talking that kind of snoring sleep where she's tilting her head to the side. We joked about it. But what it was, she was working two other jobs, and we didn't know about it at the time, and under the contract, you're only supposed to be working for them. She was dead tired. Didn't know that her husband had left her, and so she didn't have babysitters. So she'd have to sit up all night, and then the next morning she'd drop the kids off at her parents and then come to work. And then it got to a point where she was working at night, and the parents kept the kids all the time. The exchange that I had with that lady, I'm not going to say her name, because we wound up being the best of friends later on. Still friends to this day. But she had trauma early in her life by a black man. She and her boyfriend were going out on a date, and her brother robbed her. Beat her boyfriend to a pulp, then tried to rape her, but he wasn't successful. And so from that point forward, black men were evil. But she was judging all black men based on that bad experience. One of the hardest things to do is to get in there. Now, she wasn't the one that contracted me. It was another person. They had no problem. And when I showed up in her department, I was a problem for her. You have to deal with this. Personal prejudices and preferences, and you don't know where they're coming from. Now, what this meant was, inside, this woman wasn't a racist, but she was traumatized by that experience that pushed her in that direction. And what I'm telling you, young lady, is that that traumatic situation you experienced earlier in your life, that's the one that put you in the direction of only wanting to date black men. This not only happens when white people are traumatized. I know black women that have been traumatized by black men, and they swap off black men altogether. They date anybody else but black. I know a Latin woman, something like that happened to her. She would not date black men. It varies. Depends on the situation you're exposed to. Best of luck to you, dear. What you're going to have to do is to disclose to these people what they will be dealing with, and understand that they're part of your therapy in relationships. Folks, one thing you realize is that there are some people you can't fix. They're broken in that way, and that's the way they're going to be. It doesn't mean that that person is racist just for the hell of being racist. Some of them are racist because of an experience that happened to them by one person, and is representative of the whole group as they see it. See, there's a difference between a person that never had a bad incident with another person of a different race, and they encounter someone, because you got the news and everything else showing the stuff that sells. So what happens, people start becoming fearful unwarrantedly. But there are others who may feel justified because they've been violated. But this also holds true for people of the same race as well. But people seem to accept it a little bit more because it's more normalized, because they're the same color, same background, same community. But when it's someone of a different race, they feel as though that person is an interloper. We'll talk more in a moment. All right, folks, so I'm going to try to clear out within the next two episodes all of the email that's left from 2022. And it's not that many, which is a good thing. And for those of you who don't know, I'm visually impaired. So what I do is I listen to the emails through the Google Reader, and then I read them back to you on the show. They give my commentary after I've read them. Big of the Google Reader voice sounds like this, and it does not sound good for you to hear. So I listen, and then I tell you what the email said after hearing it in the IFB from the other machine. All right. Barbara writes the following, and she's out of, where is this? Claremont, California. Guess what? I have had the ultimate insult as a woman. Never in my 40 years have I ever been so grossed out and insulted. Some women get dick pics. It's a phenomenon I've learned since going online. I didn't know what they were until I got one. But a dick video? That's stretching it a little far. I met this guy on a dating site. I'm not going to give the name because I'm too embarrassed to even mention that I'm on it. And this video had this guy who had hit me up that he liked me. And we chatted for a while. But this video, it just took the cake. He had printed out my profile picture and he had put the camera on his penis as he masturbated and ejaculated on the photo. I guess that was supposed to turn me on or something. I wrote him back and told him he was a creep, and I blocked him and reported him. What the hell is wrong with these men? I've only been looking for a decent relationship, and I wind up with an asshole just in a basic online conversation. Please explain that to me. I would love to hear an explanation to justify it. My dear, there is no justification. This is something that unfortunately Omega males do. You see, this type of guy, he doesn't have interpersonal skills. He can't talk to a woman. Or he can demonstrate to a woman, but he can't talk to her. I can imagine how crazy that was to receive something like that. Because he probably was expecting you to be turned on by it. That is creepy as hell. That meant that he had to go to your profile, print out the photograph, position his camera, and wank his shank, and think that that was appealing. And you more than likely, I don't think you've met this guy. I'm assuming you haven't met him. At least I hope you haven't met him. This is in line with some serial killer shit. You did the right thing by reporting him and blocking him. I hope you didn't pay for your membership for a full year. Because if you did, if he can get away with that, there are probably some others out there. There's no justification for this. I wish there were some sort of rational argument, but there isn't. This is something this guy just went out and did arbitrarily. But look at the brighter side. There are more men that don't do this than do it. So, the good thing about it, you didn't have to go on a date with him. But again, you can't judge all men because all men wouldn't do this. Matter of fact, I don't know anybody that would do this, male or female. Printing out the picture? That is creepy. But it's a one-off. I'm sure you've met people on that dating app that you've chatted with so far that hasn't gone to this extreme. Just be thankful he revealed himself before you went out on a date with him. All right, let's see here. Jimmy writes the following, out of Santa Fe, New Mexico. There's a girl in Albuquerque that contacted me on a dating site recently. I decided to drive over and see what she was about. We had a date, and boy, to my surprise, she's 4 months pregnant. She had no problem telling me about it. In her photo, she wasn't pregnant. So that picture was taken at least a year ago. And she said that she wanted to know if I had a problem with it. She and her boyfriend had broken up, and now she was starting out anew. She was living with her mother. And it was kind of awkward going to her mother's house, then going into this girl's bedroom and having sex with a pregnant woman. Yes, I did it. It was good, but I'm debating whether to bring her to Santa Fe with me. We're pretty close now. We have a pretty good relationship. But I have my doubts. I'm only 33. Never been married, and I'm wondering whether or not this would be a good choice for me. Nope, I don't think it is. I think the problem that you're going to have here is that you don't know much about her, and yet you're going this, that, and the third floor. What are you doing sleeping with her in her mother's house? I don't think I would have done that, especially with her being pregnant. Now, Mom is probably used to it, to let it happen. Where's Dad? Wonder if he's in the picture anywhere. Probably not. Well, apparently the baby's father's not there. You got to be careful, because she might just be doing this to escape from the guy. She probably moved out while the guy was at work or something, and you don't know. And you're talking about bringing her up to Santa Fe? Because you're going to see that man again in court, because he's going to go for custody or something. And God help you if it's a situation where she's collecting child support while she's with you. You let him find out he's paying child support to a woman that's got an able-bodied man at the house. That ain't going to fly over too well. I wouldn't do it. And I tell these women, if you're pregnant and your man has left you, wait until after you have the baby before you start talking about a relationship, until the baby is at least 2 years old or three or so. Spend that time with your child. Do yourself a favor. But for you, sir, Jimmy, This right here is bad news. I just see a thing where you're going to have a confrontation with the father at some point. And Mama's probably glad for her to get out of the damn house. Because you got to remember, she came back home from that dude pregnant. Mom probably had an empty nest. So the way she probably figured, I'm just speculating, I don't know. She probably figured, well, I'll let my daughter fuck him. Maybe he'll go and take her off my hands. Better think about it, Dad. Just saying. Whew, these people, something else. Cliff out of Ada, Oklahoma. I'm looking for a woman that is a real woman and not one of these Barbie doll types. Now, I've found some good women down here in Oklahoma, but not the kind that I'm really looking for. I'm not looking for a woman that's trying to prove how badass she is. I'm not trying to get a woman that's going to be this prissy bitch that I got to figure out on taking care of all the time. I want somebody that can stand up on their own when they need to and not be so damn needy. Just got rid of my ex about 3 months ago. The neediest woman I ever met in my life. Insecure, always accusing me of cheating. And hell, I did wind up cheating with her sister. Don't call me a dog, that's what I did. You're gonna accuse me of something, damn it, I'm gonna go out there and do it. I'm just looking for a decent woman that could be honest And that doesn't go out accusing a man of something he didn't do. I hate that with a passion, because on my job, I was accused of stealing. And we found out it was the boss that was stealing the money from the company. I still have my job. He's in jail. All right. Cliff. Your attitude, man. I understand the region of the country and you're rugged and all that stuff. And I know you guys got hit with some snow down there a while back. One thing that I will tell you, though, is this. You're not going to find a woman with that kind of attitude. That frontiersman type. Let that shit go. Just try to find your lady that you can work with, talk to. Let her know your concerns. Ask her the questions about, hey, do you accuse people of something they haven't done before? If she has to think about it, if she has to pause on it, that means she has. Another thing you need to look at, too. The kind of girls that you are upset about, the prissy girls and all the rest, like you said, those are women that you have gone for. Maybe look at all of their profiles and on their page before you actually start chatting with them. Read the profile. That will give you more info on what's going on. But see, I have a feeling you're a swipe and click guy. You want somebody that you can actually learn from and engage with. That's going to be important. So don't put yourself in that position. Take some time out. Because I just got a feeling what you want it now. You just want to just get it. You want it to be right there and already fixed and ready to go. And relationships don't work that way. You got to get a chance to know the person. Get a chance to feel them out. I don't think you give yourself that opportunity. Just judging from the attitude in this email. Just slack up a bit. All right, Gerard writes the following, and he is out of Jefferson City, Missouri. I don't know what it is with these bitches. I just can't make any sense of it. What do these women want? I've been on 5 dates, not one of them wanted a second date. And on the other dating site I was on 9 dates, got turned down every time. Thanks, but no thanks. I don't think I'm looking for a relationship now. And these women know they're lying. I'm getting frustrated with this. I'm 20. And I'll admit, I want some pussy. But I also want a relationship. Why are these women being so hard to get and so difficult? I would love for you to look at my profile and see what I'm doing wrong. All right. Jared, let's take a look here. Oh. I'm going to be honest with you, man. I'm looking at your profile on OkCupid. That fish is bigger than you are. I hate to say it, man, but thumbing through these photos, I haven't even looked at your profile yet. You got little man syndrome. You got this big ass truck. And I know damn well the only way you get in it is with the stepladder. Because you don't even have the step to get in the truck with on the side. There you go with the picture of you, and I see what you're doing. You're putting the gun down so that they don't see that it is a gun. But if you really look at the photo hard enough, you could see that that is the stock of a weapon. Man, this reeks of insecurity. And you're sitting here with an elk laid down. But we know the elk is dead. Let's see what else is here. Oh, great. Nice picture of you and your buddies drinking. The only problem with this, if a girl was to go and see these photos, she would already know who you were, and she would have eliminated you, and she'd probably find it curious about some of the other guys that are drinking. The reason why I say that, if you notice the guy in the third guy in the photo near the back of the photo, he's got his beard down, and he's looking at the camera. The rest of you guys got your head tilted back with the bottle up. So what that would tell a woman is, out of all of you, he's the only one that's serious. Okay, and you got all this camo gear on. On the next one. Next one, you're on a fishing boat somewhere. All right, the other one. Looks like you're getting ready to get into the canoe. So in other words, you're an outdoorsy guy. So let's read your profile. Oh boy, your marquee is all fucked up. Here you've got here in big bold letters, folks, real man for real woman. I'm a manly man. I hunt, I fish, I do it all. I'm a one-stop shop for a woman. She never has to worry about being protected. She never has to worry about being loved. The only thing she needs to do is to cook my meals, have my bed ready, and be a good woman. Phew, that's saying a lot. Didn't say anything about your personality or who you are. I guess it's supposed to resonate from the photos. Let's look here. Currently in search of a woman that I can love, cherish, and that will obey me in all of my commands. No exceptions. No liberal women, thank you. Dude, you got an identity crisis. This shit is not gonna work. The reason why you're not getting any women or any responses is because you're trying too hard to be recognized as the macho man. You're trying way too hard. You never really described what you wanted in a woman. You just gave directives. This is the reason why these women are swiping left on you. The only thing that was positive about this, from a woman's perspective, if they were to look at this, would be that photo of the guy that's there that doesn't have the beer bottle hoisted up in his face, but that's looking directly in the camera. He looks like Johnny Depp back in his younger days. He's going to be the crowd stopper. It's not a good look for you. You shot yourself in the foot. Well, folks, we'll be doing more email on tomorrow. I want to thank you for listening and take care. I would like to personally thank you for listening to Romantic Truth. You may follow us on Facebook.com/romantictruth. You may ask your friends to subscribe to anchor.fm/romantictruth, or you can leave us a message. at anchor.fm/romantictruth/message. You may contact us through email at romantictruthpodcast@gmail.com. Take care.
Romantic Truth would like to take this opportunity and applaud our listeners and over 40 countries for their support. If you need someone to talk to in regards to help, you may contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 800-273-8255, available 24 hours.
All correspondences read on the show have been pre-screened and pre-approved by the submitter to be aired on the show.
The views and opinions of this podcast does not reflect those of Romantic Truth, Anchor, Spotify, or any of its affiliates. The opinions expressed are solely those of the host and guests, and should not be deemed as professional guidance, advice, or a professional practice. In the event you may need professional assistance, contact your local federal, state, or county agencies for specific assistance in social services, family counseling, or mental health services. For all medical, legal, and financial services, please contact the appropriate licensed and certified professionals within your region.
The music that is provided on this podcast that is not provided by Anchor is used under waiver by Jawsen One Music for fair use.
Please be advised that the content of this podcast is under copyright by Romantic Truth and James Adams.